fighting for America.
Here at the home of the team with the most famous Statue of Liberty play in history, I don't need to remind you that big things happen late in the fourth quarter.
Fighting for Idaho.
We are here fighting for the voiceless, especially the children who are conceived in rape and incest, because their lives matter, just like a child conceived with wine and roses.
Fighting for you.
When I came in Monday morning, I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Your show always delivers.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, sometimes I'm just glad that I'm not in TV anymore. And you're saying, gosh, is this guy going to be one of these idiots in radio that just talks about himself? I don't know. I just sit there and just so disgusted with just the state of television today. It's no wonder that this program, thanks to us, thanks to you, and the support that we have with you, continues to live and breathe and grow. And the online stuff, although, I mean, how serious? Now, do we even talk about the president being interviewed by those nitwits on YouTube? I mean, really? But I'm sitting here watching this, and you I mean, here we have Sweet William. You remember Sweet William, our great friend Sweet William. Yes, Sweet William is still part of the staff. He likes to roam around occasionally, run wild and free. He spends a lot of time in the break room these days. Sweet William, do we have the cut that really defines our entire life here on planet Earth?
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
There we have it. Chris Troupas. God bless Chris Troupas. I just sit there and think to myself, friends, we've got issues going on. And God bless you for being smart, for being patriotic, for loving this great nation. Because we need you. And let me get to it. I'm watching all the major networks here. The dummies on the Today Show, they've got Mike Lupica, who's a sports writer, who's paid to, you know, talk obnoxiously, you know, about the outrage of the New England Patriots, about Bill Belichick, about Tom Brady. And I think people, and I'm a victim of this as well, or not a victim, I practice this as well. They want to talk about sports. I mean, we have the English guy from Fox News on with his, I don't know, his glasses that make him a lot more serious looking, talking about this. I don't know if he knows a football from a soccer ball. We have people going, well, did they cheat? Did they do this? Is it a wonder that nobody can pretty much name the Secretary of State, that we have the president who sauntered into town and was greeted by a bunch of folks that think he did a great job, that now have attacked me for outing him for trying to get the Boulder White Clouds? Well, he didn't do that, Kevin. You need to admit you're wrong. I don't know if I was wrong. I gave you an opinion piece. It was my opinion. However, who's to say that I didn't talk to one of my friends that I still am in contact with in network television or cable television that said, hey, Kevin, this is what we're hearing out of the White House? Who's to say that I don't have friends in other states that are chairman of political, of the Democratic political party in those states that might not have, that may or may not have whispered in my ear? Or that, you know, going back to my 20 years in radio, that I didn't talk to some activists in the New England states that are still very close to the White House. But it was an opinion piece. However, let's get to the facts of the day. I've meandered around enough. This Deflategate, is it a story? Oh, finally, we get to the ISIS hostage deadline, thankfully. It's just amazing. That's the world that we live in. And everybody wants to, you know, talk about the Patriots and their cheaters. What about ISIS? You probably heard at the top of the hour, here you have a mother begging her government to pay the ransom so her son, who did nothing wrong but was doing his job as a Japanese journalist, is about ready to get his head cut off, begging the Japanese government to save his life. Who knows if that'll play out? Now, that's an issue, right? We have the Add the Words meeting coming up on Monday. By the way, we'll have our special edition of the Add the Words pre-hearing show, where we hope to have members of our team and members of their team have a lengthy discussion. Already, if I start saying I love you in a heterosexually appropriate way, we have a woman calling or emailing that I'm a hate-filled fatty. I don't know how that – usually most people of my girth are jolly. But regardless of that, thanks for the self-diagnosis there. And we say these things for your entertainment purposes only. But, you know, we go from the lack of hard-hitting stories to what we talk about, the statesman trying narrowly to follow our lead, did a little story on how much the president's trip cost. We have other outlets saying it was a boom for local business. But in reality, he stuck us with the bill. He came here. Look, if I was right and he would have claimed the Boulder White Cloud region, hey, at least he came here to do something besides just walk around and have a pep rally, correct? Think about that. Those are some issues, but let's get to the heart of the story here at 580-5436. And thanks to our friends TPB, Idaho Steve, and others, we've been on this story for 2 years, and that's the raising of the gas tax. We hear now from Channel 7.
As you know, it's hard to get any sort of tax increase through this very conservative state has. There goes our light. But leaders here see this possible tax increase very differently and say that by getting these funds and spending this money now, they'd be saving so much more money in the future.
Is the Idaho Transportation Department getting enough funding to keep your roads and bridges smooth and safe? Thursday, the director said no.
It is no secret that Idaho does not have enough funding to support the needs of an aging system.
Brian Ness talked in front of a joint committee of both the House and Senate Transportation Committees. He says ITD recently realigned the agency, saving about $80 million in bonds and salaries, but still reduced fatalities on Idaho's highways. However, Ness says the state's infrastructure is aging and crumbling. Idaho currently has almost 800 bridges that are beyond their designed life, and road quality is falling annually. The governor's task force says that Idaho is underfunding transportation by $543 million a year, and that $262 million of that is needed annually just to preserve the system as it is today.
Idaho's economy is beginning to turn around, but to accelerate and sustain this improvement, we must begin reinvesting in transportation. This will grow the economy and put contractors back to work.
There we have it. Okay. As we predicted that this would happen, we predicted this 2 years ago when we were at Thomas Hammer. Remember that? When the legislature was in town, once a week, Sweet Willard and I would go down to Thomas Hammer, and we'd talk to these folks. But at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, here we have the Department of Transportation beginning to lobby lawmakers to support a gas tax hike, just like the Republicans are trying to do at the federal level. Gee, gas prices down at a historic level, and now let's stick it to you, to Sally, to Mama, to Daddy, to everyone. Right? Right? At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, where we have the roads are falling apart, the bridges are going to be torn down. Now, let me say this. God forbid anything like what happened in Minnesota would happen here. We want safe roads and safe bridges. But my friends, especially you folks that make a payroll, especially that you folks that honor your commitments and bills as overwhelming as they may be, dear true believer, dear American, dear Idahoan, this didn't happen overnight. Governor Otter reelected after 8 years running things. Where was the money for the past couple years? You just don't automatically hiccup and, gee whiz, we've underfunded the roads for $500 million. And by the way, I didn't know it was government's place to employ people as this gentleman is advocating here. What's really happening is the big money special interest, the lobbyist, the folks that want to get those contracts to get paid have decided, we supported these politicians. Now it's time for them to pay the freight. But it's just like you. If you don't pay your credit card, and then all of a sudden you have a big bill, who's to blame? I would say the government, right? And isn't it funny that we have a crisis this year, but last year during an election year, well, the roads and bridges were just fine, everybody. Take a look at what Governor Otter said. I'm not doing it. I'm just spelling out what's going to happen. Don't look at me, partner. Governor Smart, he did talk about this in the State of the State.
Chairman Brackett and Palmer, legislative leaders, I am not going to stand here and tell you how to swallow this elephant. That would be contrary to all that I have learned and that we have learned about each other in recent years. But we all know it must be done. And I welcome financially responsible legislation that addresses steady, ongoing, and sustainable transportation infrastructure in Idaho. However, I will not entertain proposals that aimed at competing for general fund tax dollars with education and our other required public programs or services.
Governor lays the smackdown here at 580 KIDO. Lays the smackdown indeed. We have people saying it's time for you to pay up so we can employ people to fix the roads and bridges. Again, where's the accountability that you and I have in our daily lives? Brian in Boise with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, one of the things that I don't think a lot of people realize, and I don't beg to be an expert in state economics or that sort of thing, but you have to look at why gas prices are so low to begin with. OPEC has voluntarily reduced prices on the barrels of oil to a level that's actually below sustainable economic growth for the Saudi Arabians and for OPEC. And they're doing that to kill the shale oil and the domestic oil production here. Look at what's happening up in like Williston, South Dakota, and up in Alberta. Those places that were boom towns a year ago are now ghost towns. And they're doing it on purpose. They're sacrificing their...
Is that really happening in the Dakotas already?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, look it up. So the problem with that is that people are saying, wow, we have amazingly low gas prices and the economy is awesome. So now let's look to tax us a little bit to get the roads up to speed. But what's going to happen is the OPEC nations, as soon as they've killed off the domestic oil production, which they know and we know, we have more capability in petroleum production in the North American continent than they could ever hope to have in the Middle East. Once they kill that off through politics and or economics, prices are going to go right back up, if not to the former bad levels, but to higher levels. And if we start laying down a bunch of taxes to start that or to do that while gas prices are low, it's going to be that much worse once OPEC raises the prices down the road. I'll take your comments offline. Thanks, Kevin.
Brian, thank you. Brian hit the nail on the head. Here we don't even buy gas from the Saudis. I mean, we buy our gas from the Canadians and the Mexicans. Here we have an industry that is uniquely American. And all of a sudden, these boom towns are going bust because the Saudis have dropped the gas prices. And our politicians think that we're, I'm sorry to say this, stupid. So they're going to hike the gas tax. Now, of course, they're going to get while the getting's good. Hey, here's a free meal. We can get that that dessert, too. And then when gas goes up to $3, how many of us, when we're driving, can't believe that gas here is $1.84? Too good to be true. And a gas tax now, they know they can't get it. This is their best chance to get it because we're lulled into Deflategate, right? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're going to hear more about the roads and the bridges and how bad they are. Hey, I agree with you. The question is, are you willing to pay to build more roads and bridges? And quite frankly, where were these guys for the last 6 or 8 years with the road?
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The biggest ticket item in our infrastructure inventory is our long-term multi-billion-dollar investment in Idaho's roads and bridges. And if Idaho learns means anything at all, it's time for us to address that elephant in the room.
There we have it. Governor Otter laying the smackdown, but saying, I'm not going to pay for it. Are you? Kevin Miller with you here talking roads and bridges. And are you ready to pay for them to be fixed? We go to Travis in Boise with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Travis.
Morning, Kevin. Hey, I was just going to make a comment. Isn't there an ad being played currently that says that there's $600 million that's been donated in the last couple of years from lottery for the schools and permanent building fund?
Yep. Yep.
And there's also, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the federal government is in charge of maintaining bridges. So where's all that money going?
Well, you know, Travis, you could have a career in the news business.
Well, I hope not.
Well, yeah, I know. It's better to work for a living. But, you know, it's funny. These lawmakers make these statements and nobody challenges them. And then we have people saying, well, Idaho's conservative legislature, nothing gets passed. And you go, really, guys, can we be objective when we're doing a news story?
Yeah, it flabbergasts me that we're sitting here and we're, you know, they're wanting to do more and more on taxes and the previous caller had stated that, you know, because the gas prices are so low, you're going to end up with these new taxes on the fuel, which when they go back up, guess what? The tax is still there.
Exactly.
So.
But my point is, I mean, Travis, you have to show something for your paycheck. Apparently, our state government, when it comes to our roads and bridges, have given it a pass. And, oh, well, we're $500 million underfunded. Okay, well, that just didn't happen this year, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the whole reason that they accepted the lottery into Idaho was to be able to allow that extra money to help fund the roads and bridges and schools.
Apparently, the schools are getting all the money.
Not apparently, because they can't afford textbooks.
Good point. Travis, thank you for the call.
Yep.
All right, 580-5436. We go to Ron Paul Jim. Good morning, sir.
Morning. Hey, when gas prices are down, doesn't that increase revenue, tax revenue to the government because people drive more?
Allegedly.
I mean, the taxes isn't a percentage. It's a fixed rate, you know? So I would think that they would want the gas prices to remain low so that the revenue stream continues to come in, at least, you know. But instead, they're trying to say that we're, our shortfalls are, you know, due to the efficiency of cars. Again, who caused that? Well, that was the government mandating more efficient cars.
Well, and it's kind of like the government, we don't want you to smoke, but we're going to use the revenue from smoking to fund anti-smoking efforts. And then when people quit smoking, then their revenue shortfall is there.
Well, the thing with the gas tax is that that money was never, you know, it was intentionally, originally intended to go towards, the funds of transportation. But hasn't that been put in a general fund in some way?
Right. That's what most states do. In fact, let's have an audit of where the gas tax money has gone. But before you answer that, I want you to because this is the point you originally made. This is what Governor Otter said exclusively to us, what was it, in June.
You know, I drive in from Star every day just like you do. And when I'm sitting there on State Street and Old Highway 55 at the stoplight in my Ford pickup that gets about 15 miles to the gallon, somebody in an electric car pulls right up next to me. I'm paying 25 cents every 14 or 15 miles I drive. Because they have an electric car, and God bless them for that effort, but they're not paying the same price that I am. And so I think one of the things that we need to do is we really need to make sure that there's equal for equal use.
Ron Paul Jim, your response to the governor.
Hidden in that is what they want to do is charge by the mile, and the way they're going to do that is to put in GPS mandated into every car, track every mile you travel, and in that process you're also putting in a massive surveillance system, and that's where this is heading. And it's been talked about for years, and here it is. They're trying to find a way to make it fair, and in that process they're going to put, you know, they already have those things you plug into your computer for the insurance rates.
Sure.
This is the insurance companies want this too. They want to be able to track you. They want to be able to charge you according to risk, you know, if you speed. So those little plug-in devices can track your speed at every aspect, every road that you're on, and match it to the speed of the road. And those little transmitters, those things are RFID transmitters that transmit to those little white boxes that you may have noticed up and down the highways. You'll see these little white, they look like about the size of a piece of Weber's bread or something aiming at the road. That's your surveillance system. They're a little RFID spraying frequency, and all those RFIDs are transmitting back. And they're tracking us everywhere. And this is just another way of mandating it.
Right on. Ron Paul, Jim, thank you. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here. Our friend Robin Scott in for Dave Burnett. I think we're doing a bait and switch here when we call this the Manly Man segment, though.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Or perhaps you're more of a man than I am, which really wouldn't take much.
Well,
there you have it.
That's a good point.
We're already
starting. My voice is a little bit lower this morning. You know, it's early.
Yes. Well, my voice gets high. So, Robin, we were talking a little about stuff in our pre-show meeting. However, I think I'm going to throw you for a total loop, which I know you really love that because you're saying, Kevin Miller, I'm doing this because Dave needs a day off, and gosh knows it is a tough job dealing with you so early in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you didn't have to agree. I thought you were going to go, oh, no, Kevin, you're the best.
No, this is a treat. I love getting up early.
I love getting up with all you wackos in the morning, yes.
It's all good.
It is all good. So we have a state senator. Senator Sitaway has spoken out in the paper about, and you're going, oh, gosh, what's he going to talk about now, some constitutional amendment? No, no, no. He's going to talk about me being, talking about me in the third person. He's going after the governor, saying the governor is basically letting our schools bleed out, if you will. I'm paraphrasing, but these are tough words from a state senator who has said that if the teachers don't get a raise, then nothing's going to pass in the legislature. Your thoughts on the state of schools here in the Treasure Valley and in the state of Idaho, for that matter?
Really? This is what you're bringing me this morning on a Monday?
Well, okay, then I'll rephrase the question, madam. When do you think that you have someone who, you know, speaks up to the big boss at work? It would be like somebody here at the broadcast center going up to the big boss and saying, I'm not going to do this. This is the right thing to do. You're wrong. So be it.
Well, sometimes you have to stand up for what's right. Certainly, I think teachers need a lot of help these days. So.
But, I mean, the fact that this guy is saying, hey, governor, you've made a bad call. You made a bad mistake. And you know, the public schools are a mess now. I mean, do you think that they're a mess? And maybe if you don't want to talk about it, don't say, Kevin, I take the fifth or whatever. But, I mean, it's it's interesting when you have the headline. And, again, it's the paper.
Yeah.
So as Brad Little tells me, well, you're here to sell soap. I'll sell anything, Lieutenant Governor Little. Here you go. Here, let me share this with you. East Idaho senator holds governor's feet to the fire. Our local schools are dying.
Wow.
Jeff Sitaway says.
As someone who
he's a sheep rancher, fourth generation. 66 years old.
So may not have his finger on the pulse of what's really going on.
Chairman of the Senate Local Government and Taxation Committee. He controls the gate through all the taxes the House must pass. He's no friend of tax increases. And he won't consider any tax cuts until the teachers get a raise.
Well, I will say
you're going to smack him for being a sheep farmer.
I wasn't going to say anything about that.
You We're on your way. You're going, dude, well, can't they get Sean Carlson to do this thing? No, you're the only one that can. So,
please help.
Exactly. A fourth generation sheep rancher.
My impression is that the schools might be not in as good a shape as they could be. And perhaps.
What are you running for office?
Yes, I am.
I am Kevin Miller.
I'm running for traffic reporter of the year.
Thank you very much. I've won the Golden Flame Traffic Reporter of the Year award.
The Golden Flame.
Watching too much Lilyhammer. But anyway, 5:41, Kevin Miller in the morning. So what do you make of this guy talking about the schools? I mean, it's certainly something that people are yapping about.
Like I say, perhaps somebody needs to speak up. You know, I don't know if he's if everything he's saying is accurate, but
our local schools are dying. I don't know how else to put it. We can't keep teachers or attract new teachers. And I'm afraid that's getting down into our education system where we can't attract college students to the profession. Nobody goes to college to get a degree where they qualify for public assistance. I'm looking at a job for a lot of former broadcasters that get the boot. They could go into teaching.
Well, maybe that's what should happen.
I don't know. But here you have this guy laying the smackdown on Governor Otter. Now, because I really don't do much, I was watching one of these local TV channels. You watch local TV, Robin?
Occasionally.
Okay, so I'm sitting here, one of these, I don't want to call them reporter babes, or do I have your permission to say reporter babes?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, you know, you can't really even say babe because, you know, once you get past, you know, you can be an expert on this, Robin. Once guys get past, what, 35, they go from, hey, the dude, aren't they creepy talking about women?
Well, you might have a point there, but...
What do you mean I might have a point? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
You want some 50-year-old creepy guy talking about somebody in their 20s?
Not really, right. But guys, some of them are babes.
Guys don't get that, but when I'm thinking of babes, I'm thinking of like little kids. Don't they all look like little kids?
Probably at some point,
probably.
Yes
or
Kevin,
no?
Yes. Jeez.
There's the bell for you.
God, you know, I'm glad this is only going one day.
This is, I'm not
God,
mad.
Being...
I'm passionate, you know, and, you know, Dave Burnett and I never have any issues. You make me laugh. You make me laugh
we
out loud. Never have problems in the morning.
LOL.
Exactly. So here we are getting back to this. So this one little cub reporter goes over and wants to speak to the senator. Now, Robin, if somebody says something in whatever and it gets in a press release, shouldn't they be obligated to talk to the people? You know, you say, I'm going to hold up any tax decreases, any tax cuts until the teachers get a raise. Shouldn't they have enough foresight to go, well, then I'm going to go talk to the press when you have these, for lack of a better term, these little kid reporters that go there to get interviewed, to interview these people?
Yes.
Well, thank you for that honest assessment there. But Senator Sitaway wouldn't see her.
Really?
Wouldn't see her. And the secretary came out and everything. And I don't know. It's like the changing dynamic here of the Treasure Valley reporters. Everybody wants to be.
Ah! Oh!
Ah! It's what I think of when I first get up in the morning.
Yeah, that is kind of.
No, but they want to be like, I'm fighting for you. Of course, we've been fighting for people here in Idaho for over 5 years, or we're looking out for you and all this. And they go, I'd just like to speak to Senator Sitaway. And then when when the senator doesn't want, we tried to call him, but he wouldn't call us back. And even the poor little reporter stood out there for 2 hours, and they showed her sitting out there for 2 hours, and it was a compelling piece. But back to this, I mean, he's making these big statements. Obviously, he's not going to be invited to the governor's ball next year, I guess.
Well, he should be backing him up. If he's going to make him, he should be...
He should talk to the press.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Giving you a definite yes on that.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We've only been yapping for 27 minutes here. It feels like it, Kevin. Gosh knows it feels like it.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, so here we go at 580KIDL. Robin in for Dave Burnett. Good old K. Millie with you. Starting your Monday on the right way. Coming up, we will get a preview of the Add the Words legislation. The big hearing will be today. Hey, let me hit you with this whole Deflategate, because this has reached the the news desk of you, Robin Scott. You were going, I want to talk about Deflategate. I go, oh.
I just said I had heard an argument this morning that I thought was a little bit more valid. I'd thought that all along.
Okay, well.
Temperature change.
Right.
Can affect things. It can definitely affect how deflated or inflated a ball is. As a musician, my husband plays guitar, and temperature change really affects a guitar and how much it will stay in tune and all that stuff.
Sure.
And certainly, you know, just playing any kind of sports at all, temperature change can affect the inflation of a ball.
This is based on what?
Having ever played with a ball.
Sports, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
A ball in sports.
You know, you don't have to keep saying a ball. You know, I know it's very funny.
It's making you uncomfortable, isn't it?
No, no, not at all. Not at all.
What are you doing? I don't have a block with me. Keep giving me a block with me.
Put your hands on your back now. I'm not doing anything, man.
Yeah, that clip doesn't make any sense. But
it really doesn't.
It, you know, it's a long story. Bill Belichick on Saturday came out, and you know, my life without football, I go, you know, I'm going to read a book. And Mrs. Miller says, good for you, Kevin Miller. You go read a book. You know, you're one of these people, you buy books. And I buy books a lot, and then I walk around work with them, and they go, hey, that Miller, he's always reading a book.
He's kind of a bookworm, Kevin Miller.
I just walk around with the book. And then someone comes up to me, and they go, hey, have you read my book? Yes, it was good. They're very like, good, thorough.
Hey, what are you reading?
I really enjoyed the chapter on the economy. But it was a sports book. Yes, the sports economy, you know?
Exactly.
So I'm watching Bill Belichick. Actually, Mrs. Miller was with me watching it. And, you know, the idea that he had this explanation. Now, you're going to have critics, Robin, that are going to say, well, why did the Colts' footballs get deflated?
Well, okay.
Because they had 12 footballs.
Were they? Well, and I don't know, because the whole thing, what the argument was that they were inflated in the locker room where it's 60 some odd degrees and then taken outside into the 30 something degree weather.
Exactly.
Is that the same thing that happened with the Colts?
I don't know. Then your boy, Bill Nye, the science guy. I mean, is this guy just a gadfly? I mean, do we really need... I'm Bill Nye, the science guy. I wish I could have... I'm Kay Milley, the radio guy, and I could just comment on things that has nothing to do with, you know.
Well, of course,
I'm bitter that Bill Nye and I got into a verbal fisticuffs, which it's funny. People said, hey, you want to have Bill Nye, the guy, science guy? And I go, I don't know who he is. Sure. And this is when Bill Nye was like big and he's going on. And I go, dude, you sound like you smoked the dope. He goes, what are you talking about? I go, well, Bill, are you in favor of legalizing marijuana? And he wouldn't deny it, if I recall correctly.
And
thus, here we are talking to each other at 5:49 in the morning. Boy, that was another
great idea. Ended up here, right?
That, President Obama.
you got quite the mouth on you there.
You know, in the old days, if I were my age in the 70s, I'd be a multimillionaire by now.
You probably would.
Now, you remember the 70s, right?
Oh, yeah, where you could have shows like All in the Family and all that.
I was raised on George Jefferson and Sanford and Son. Those were my heroes. Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyway, those guys were my heroes. They were outspoken. They said what they felt. They felt what they said, and they weren't politically correct. I mean, when George would call his wife Wheezy, now you call your wife Wheezy today, they're going to call the cops on you. I mean, what's wrong with calling your significant other Wheezy? Come here, Wheezy.
Well, is that her name?
Her name was Louise.
Well, that's
called her. Come here, Wheezy.
But
if you have a kid, you're a parent, correct, Robin?
Yes.
All right. I mean, what's wrong with calling your kid the big dummy? Come here, you big dummy.
Meathead.
But, you know, and I loved Carol O'Connor. He was great. But on the other hand, I loved Fred, when he'd call his kid, come here, you big dummy, I'm going to knock you out. I mean, if every father had that relationship with his son, what a great world it would be.
Oh, and you could see the love, you know, you could feel it, right?
Exactly. But anyway, if I were doing this in the 70s, it'd be huge. But today it's even more of a challenge because everybody has to be politically correct. Everybody has to do, you know, we can't be offensive. How can you make a living in this gig without being offensive.
Exactly.
So I don't know where that came from, but we were talking about just, you know, how busy the world has become. By the way, did you watch Miss Universe last night?
I caught the end of it. Actually, I caught the very beginning and the very end because I got sucked into the Dateline or whatever it was that was on right before it. And right at the end, when they're wrapping it all up, the picture just went to crap. And we totally missed what happened, you know, when they did the whole wrap up. And it was like, and then Miss Universe started like, oh, I bet this will be just fine. And of course it was.
Yeah, Miss Columbia.
Miss Columbia. Miss USA. First runner up. You never know. She might have to take over the duties.
First loser is what I call her. In my day, Miss America always won Miss Universe. Of course, it's a Donald Trump production.
Of course.
You know, that's all it really is. Donald Trump, I bought it, and it's the best ever. It's better than Miss... Whatever happened to Miss America?
That's a good question.
You know, no bikinis, one-piece swimsuits. I kind of liked it.
I haven't watched one of those in a while.
Well, you just said you watched Miss Universe, Robin. Are you awake this morning?
I haven't watched a Miss America pageant in a while.
Well...
And I didn't really set out to watch Miss Universe. It just happened to be on after Dateline, after they messed up the whole end. So now I don't even know what happened.
Did they catch the killer in Dateline or not?
It was...
Or it was the old guy going, and they all lived happily ever after. I mean, that guy, I don't know if he's creepy or just the greatest. You know what I'm saying?
it's kind of weird. Especially when he calls those those reporters, you know, babes. Those hot babes.
We're or beyond that, Robin. You and I are much more, how should we put it, mature and dignified to ever say any of those things.
Like disorganized and...
Yes. And by the way, to our friends in the Northeast, we have a lot of people listening in the Northeast, the New England states. They're about ready to batten down the hatches.
I know.
The worst snow ever.
I'm very happy it's not us.
Isn't it every year there the worst snow ever? It's the worst snow ever!
They do get a lot, though.
They do.
Which, I was glad it wasn't us.
That's why it's great to live in the West.
That's right. Nothing like it.
Kind of like traffic.
Yes. It's great to be in traffic this morning.
Kind of like traffic now.
Yes, Kevin. Well...
This is the Agribusiness Update. I'm Greg Martin. A new study released last Thursday by Auburn University professor Dr. Robert Taylor shows country of origin labeling did not cause the declines in livestock exports to the U.S., which coincided with a substantial global economic downturn that sapped demand for more expensive meat products. Taylor's study says COOL has not had a significant negative effect on the price paid for imported slaughter cattle relative to comparable domestic cattle. In fact, the fed cattle price basis declined after the law went into effect. The study also says qualitative and econometric analysis of mandatory price reporting and monthly trade and price data casts considerable doubt on assertions that COOL negatively affected imports of slaughtered cattle. Well, the Idaho Department of Fish and Game has identified several cases of H5N8 avian influenza in wild ducks and H5N2 in a small backyard chicken flock and private flocks of falcons. The discovery occurred after disease surveillance was increased due to the identification of avian influenza in Washington, Oregon, California, and Utah. That's today's Agribusiness Update from the Ag Information Network of the West.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
5:58, do want to thank Robin Scott for being in for Dave today. She'll be with us all morning long. Don't forget, your chance to win a trip for free to the Daytona 500 can be yours thanks to 580 KIDO and MCA Nashville. In the 7 o'clock hour, I'll give you our driver of the day. When you know who that is, when you hear that driver, be caller 10, and you'll be registered. You can also register by going to 580KIDO.com and clicking on the All Access Club.